How about now? All right. It's working. So, it's another good day here. Praise the Lord. Where we're meeting together is always a good thing, to meet around the Lord. He's kind to us. We're going to continue in chapter 9 and 10 of the book of John today. I just can't get by. I'm trying to. I've got another message prepared, which is out of chapter 10, but we're back to one verse on chapter 9. It's just been ministering so much to me, and it's just such a big subject that I am going to go back here again today. So if you guys will be a little patient with me, you always are, and we'll reference this one verse again in John chapter 9. And we know that as we stand up here and speak, prayer is very important, prayer by you guys and by us who are speaking too. But we depend on the power of a supernatural life that's been given to us, pretty special. But we really need help as we speak and preach and do Bible studies. I heard this morning was a real blessing. So we always need the Lord's help. So I hope I can trust in you to be praying even as we go through the scripture here today. So let's go ahead and read again the main emphasis of our story in John chapter 9, beginning verse 35 through 38. It says this: Jesus heard that they had cast him out, that being that they had basically excommunicated him, the blind man. And when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that you have given us of your life, that you poured out your life as an offering for us, Lord. What a wonderful privilege we've been brought into, Lord, a whole new order of things that we certainly didn't deserve, but we certainly embrace, Lord, with all our hearts, Lord, that we say that you are Lord and we are gracious. We are so we're almost undone by your kindness towards us, Lord, in Christ Jesus, that you have given us of your life, Lord. It's the very life that sustains us. I think we can all say, Lord, and agree with this, that you are our life, you are our bread. So today, Lord, we ask that you would open up the atmosphere, that you would have the preeminence in all things, that you would be glorified, that you quicken our hearts and our minds, and that we would even see what we are created for, Lord, just a little more clearly. So, Lord, we ask you to bless this time and help us in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen. And another verse that we use and we are using is First John chapter 5. Verse 13, "These things I have written to you, that you would believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And here's the key part of the verse I want us to focus on: "And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Now, really, this could almost be a closing of any one of the books of the book of John. This is an aim that we as believers, and this can't be overemphasized, that we would continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And And I know we do believe in the Son of God. I would venture to say everyone here, if not everyone here, I'd be surprised who's here this morning, knows and believes in the Son of God. But we must, there's a practical side of this. We must continue to believe in the Son of God. And many of us struggle around this one issue of faith. Who's ever struggled over this issue of faith in the Christian life? Well, if somebody says they don't, I don't believe them. They're a liar and a charlatan, so to speak. This is the issue of life. Don't you love how Jesus put it to the blind man? He finds him, comes right to him, and he says one thing. Do you believe in the Son of God? He narrows all of life's complications down to one question. And if we think about this question, really, think about it. That question, does it come down to that? I believe it does. And we have to ask ourselves, what is our faith in? And does it lead us to worship like the blind man worships? Is that our response? Or, and we've seen it, and we even have been, we've prayed for many, we've been there ourselves sometimes. Do we believe in a crazy kind of circumstantial faith? A faith that says, we talked about it last night at dinner. Ray Comfort stood up here. He opened the message, I remember. It was quite poignant. And he says, do we believe in a gospel that says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything in your life is going to be wonderful? Then he gave example after example of people that he knew in his life that were close to him where everything was going wrong. But you know what isn't going wrong? Their faith in the Son of God, which is of great value, which we'll see. It's a genuine faith. And last time we had talked about that the whole world, that verse we know, the whole world lays under the sway. It's not under the control, and we could go into that because God is ultimately in control. But it lays under the sway, the influence of, is another way to put it, of the wicked one. And all of life, I believe, the world, our very own heart, and the devil are set against that relationship with Jesus. It is. And we're part of this world system. We've been brought out of it. And this faith in Christ that brought the blind man into the sheepfold that we're going to talk about next time. I wanted to get into that. I wanted to talk about Jesus being the good shepherd and Jesus being the door and both going through the door. It appears that there'd be contradictions there, but there's not. But this blind man was brought into something, part of this great host. I mean, this is amazing. It can't be overemphasized again. This is so cool. I mean, we don't have that many. I have to admit, it was my birthday yesterday. And one of the sisters here who's not here today just asked me a question. Are you trying to catch up with me or something? And I didn't really answer that. I just said, I said, yes, thank you. But I mean, the thing is, in a moment of time, we're going to be with the Lord. And these decisions that we're making now are very important. I don't know how to put it any other way, but they're going to make a difference. Every moment that we give to the Lord is of value. Now, there's somebody in relationship to this one question that knows how valuable our faith is. You know who that person? Well, I don't know if he's a person. I don't want to go into that. But you know who knows that our faith is of great value to God? The devil. This is the whole thing. He knows what's of great value. And that's what gets attacked. He's going to attack what's of great value to God. Let's turn. This is a typical verse, but I wanted to keep it in context of what we're reading in John. Let's look again at the book of Ephesians chapter 6. A great chapter on the armor of God. And we're going to go right to verse 16 because we're talking about faith. And we're going to focus on this. 6:16 of the book of Ephesians. Above all. Can we put it another way? Above it all. Taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we don't have time to go into all the armor of God, but we are going to go into what this says here, which Paul is saying here. Above all. That means above all these other pieces, this is an important piece to put on. The shield of faith. Now, look, what does the shield of faith do? And what is our faith in? We know what our faith is in. It's not like our faith is not in faith. I need to say it. Be patient with me. I know you guys know this. But it's not in faith. Our faith is in Christ alone. Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe, really, when the rubber hits the road, so to speak, when all the trials of life come, are we coming back to this one issue? Because the devil himself and his minions is out to attack our faith. This is very, I think we can all agree to this. We sense in our own lives, this is the object of attack. Through a lot of times through circumstances. But look what this says. By taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench how many?
All.
These two alls are really important. Above it all, or above all, take up the shield of faith, in which you will be... This is a positive. This is a promise in the Word of God. This is a promise that we need to stand upon in faith. My faith in Christ... can, because my faith in him, not in the trust, not in ourselves, can extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, we learned on Friday night, going through the temptation of Christ, the Lord used the word when he was tempted. There's a lot of other things in that chapter, but of the book of Luke, but he used the word of God. And we need to use the word of God in this way. We can, because of our faith in Christ, quench all the fire. We can come back, and otherwise, let's just paraphrase. When these trials come, these horrendous fiery darts, and they're pretty bad.
They will.
And they are coming, and they are here already, and they need to be extinguished, so to speak. They have to be extinguished, or our faith will wane. I don't know how to put it. I'm not going to say our faith is going to be destroyed, but our faith is really going to falter. Can I put it that way, guys? I don't know. It's going to falter. And the Lord's praying. Now look, what did the Lord pray for Peter? What are we praying for one another as we go through trials? What is the Lord himself praying for us for? Think of that. What did he pray for Peter for? That your faith would not fail, though he was under great trial, right? He would learn the lessons. But there's a, and this is the practical side to our faith, so to speak. What was the blind man's answer to all the attacks that were really coming about what Jesus had done in his life? It's what he knew about the Lord. His answers came back over and over again about what he knew about Jesus. Another thing we read last week, and I want to read this in context to our faith, and is I want to look at the Lord's baptism briefly. I want to go to Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And I guess, you know, this is kind of, it's fairly basic, and I'm coming back to basics. I hope you allow me this and allow me to reinforce what I believe is important, honestly, to me and Jan and to every one of us, is that we come back to the basics over and over again. This basic issue, and this is what we're going to read here, 3:22. It says, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. This is when he's being baptized by John the Baptist. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased, the New King James says. And there's one voice that we should listen to, of course, in the declaration of who God's Son is. And none of us were baptized like this, sort of speak. There's only one Son of God. And yet, what I would like to focus about what happened to the blind man and what's happened to every person who's believed since the beginning of time, is I believe this exact same thing has happened, in essence. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that, and we don't have time to go and spend the whole time and back this up with the scripture, but I hope you'll look like a Berean. But the Holy Spirit came into our lives, literally came into our lives. There's the picture. The moment what? We believed. Nothing else, not based on merit, not based on anything else. This is how it happened. It happened the moment we believed. We heard it in the prayers here this morning. And the moment we believed, God calls us his beloved sons and daughters. Think of that. We're beloved. We need to see that on a daily basis. We need to see that God loves us and that he considers us beloved based upon one fact, which we're going to go over. And that's based on our faith in him, faith in the Son of God. Now, I want to think of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. That's kind of a nebulous statement because it's something we can't really see. I mean, at least John saw this in a bodily form, if not others. I'm sure many, it appears, heard the voice. This isn't the first time. I believe there's at least three times in the scripture, if not more, of where the Lord speaks and says something similar. I mean, where God the Father does. But think of it this way. We're in a dark room, so to speak. You ever been there? I've been there often where I'm actually in the back of my office, which is quite big, and I go all around. I'm still not smart enough. And I turn off the lights, and I turn off the one in the far back last. And I don't have my phone. The modern convenience. So what am I left? Pitch black. You know, you're in the pitch dark. But the moment we believed, it says there was a flash of light upon our hearts. I don't even know, you know, the Lord knows how that works. But it's real. Just like it came on bodily form upon the Lord Jesus. This is real. This is not fake stuff. I mean, and it comes in the form, and I've said this before with my background of photography, is it comes in the form, I believe, of a latent image. I don't know how this works, but the Lord's in us. Christ is in us, but it's also an image of the Son of God, like flashed on our heart in a minute of in a second of time, much less than a second. Now, when David, my son David, my youngest son, was in junior high, I believe, he came to me and he wanted to say, could you take a picture of a bullet? And I go, I've heard it's been done. Let's try it. So we actually set up a .22 in my photo studio with wood behind the stage. We researched on how to do it, and how you could do it is set off by sound of a bullet breaking a balloon to fire off your camera shutter at about, I believe, 1/8,000th of a second, as I remember, maybe it's 1/10,000th of a second, and you could stop a speeding bullet with a camera. You can record that. It's pretty amazing. I couldn't believe the pictures. I should have brought it today. It's so unbelievable. But this is a far greater thing, this picture of the Lord shining his light upon our hearts the moment we believed in the Son of God. But you know, and I'm talking to an old age because nowadays everything's digital, but in the old days everything was film. And you had film. I think everyone here probably remembers that. Suzette's shaking her head. Bob, please. So you would have to go into a dark room, and you'd have to use developer and then a stop path and then fixer to develop your film. Well, in the picture that we're showing here, and as we're speaking of this, I believe that faith is the developer of the image, that you might continue to believe in the Son of God. See, and I think there's a little bit of a travesty in certain circles. There's so many incredible believers out there, but a little bit of a travesty, which is makes such an effort, and the Lord even spoke about this to the Pharisees, makes such an effort to get people into the kingdom of God, so to speak, and then, but not to be developed, to not have their faith, to continue to believe. See, it's the same developer, and it's of great value, and we know of what value it is that we become a believer. Fantastic value. In fact, John 6:29 says this. You can, or you don't have to turn to it. Jesus said to somebody that asks him, you know, what can I do, you know, do the work of God? It's a good question. And Jesus answered him that, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Or to the blind man, do you believe in the Son of God? Or to us who have already believed, are we going to continue to believe in the Son of God? It might be a basic lesson, but it is so important to our Christian walk. There's no other way, I don't believe, I can say it being 63 years old now, there's no other way to walk the Christian walk but to continue to believe in the Son of God. But let's put it a different way. Do we believe, and it's just a question, that our entire worth of in life is built around the person of Jesus Christ? It's another way we can put it. Do we believe that? Because I believe that's the heavenly perspective from looking at the Word of God, the whole counsel of it. In fact, John 16:27 says this, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. Did we hear that? The Father loves us because we believe. Now, this is not you see, it takes it off merit and it puts it on faith. It puts it off of us and puts it on to him. No matter what everything is, we can come back to this. We can, no matter what it is coming against us in our lives. It's the very key to life, I believe, is what Jesus is saying. This is what I love about Jesus. Don't you love this about Jesus and what he does to our lives? He simplifies things. We're complex creatures in a complex world, and yet he simplifies the issues of life, if we're honest about it. Now, in the book of Daniel, we don't have to go there. We know, I ask you to believe, you can go look later in chapter 9 and chapter 10. Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, shows up to Daniel. You know what he tells Daniel? 3 times in different spots through chapter 9 and chapter 10. He says, you're greatly loved. Greatly loved, Daniel. This is the heavenly perspective. The moment we believe, we're children of God. John, 1 John 3:2 says this, Beloved, now we are the children of God. A simple fact, but very important. We wake up and we hold on to this every day, because everything else can fade away. But if that's shining bright, that's quite a brightness. And you see also, this faith in God's Son, we know, makes God well. God is well pleased in that. This is what God wants us to keep coming back to that one issue. I believe this with all my heart. That's the testimony of the Scripture. Now, we've heard this said, and it is true. We could all probably, for the most part, recite it. Faith, hope, and love. But what's the last part of it? Greatest of these is love. But that love is, we know, and think of the developer being faith. The image is something that was of God's doing. We know even our faith is not of our own, as the Scripture says. It's the gift of God. But you can't have, let me put it this way. God poured out His love in our hearts, but you can't have love without faith. There's an order to this. You can't say, oh, I'm just going to love my brothers and my sisters without having faith in God. Without continuing to have faith in God, can I put it this way? You can't reverse the order. You can't go love, hope, and faith. It's faith, hope, and love. These things spring from the heart of God, but it comes from faith. Love comes by us continuing to believe in the Son of God. Now that brings us to the issue of the heart and the supernatural heart. Jan and I went and saw this crazy Avengers last week. And I think and there's all about superheroes and all this, but there must have been 20 of them. I think I can name 4 of them. So I was totally in the dark. I mean, it was confusing. But here's the problem is, we have a natural heart, and we really have a supernatural heart. That sounds crazy, but we're kind of all like superheroes, so to speak, in a sense. But I want to talk about the natural heart. Jan came home this week. She goes off into the Walter Hoving Home. It's a home in Pasadena that she's gone to for I don't know how many years, quite a few years. And they're going to come here in a couple of, I think the beginning of June, is that right, Jan? Yeah. Beginning of June, they're going to come here and visit us, a group of them. How many, Jan, do you think?
25.
Okay.
20.
Okay. All right. But she came home and she, this really ministered to my heart what Rebecca, who is the director of the Walter Hoving Home in Pasadena, her name's Rebecca. You'll meet her. She's an incredible woman. And she came, and I don't know where she said it, but Jan said, Rebecca said that there's no bottom to the human heart. There's no bottom to the human heart. In essence, it's capable of unlimited wickedness. We only have to read the news. I don't even have to say, there's a horrendous story out of Mexico the last few weeks about some guy who was doing horrendous acts. And it's not worth even mentioning, it's so bad. But we know that Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful beyond all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So the human heart is incurable. Now, let me tell you something not to tell me, because I'm going to cloud up and rain, so to speak, and maybe do worse. I've got a son who's struggling with addiction. Don't come up to me and tell me he just has to reach bottom. Okay? There's a warning. I've heard this more times than I can gag at. Now, sorry, I'm just going to be honest about that. I do not believe that's a scriptural principle. there's no bottom to the human heart. Now, maybe people can reach bottoms, I don't know. But there's no bottom. But the human heart, by nature, is incurable. But the heart flashed by the image of God's Son is unlimited in potential. This is an unlimited life. Faith in God's beloved Son, and that alone, nothing else, is really what's going to continue for the next 100,000 years for us who believe. I'm just, again, putting perspective to that. It's much more than 100,000 years, but it's going to live forever, this faith in Christ. And it's going to be, you know, we're saying this is elementary, but it's not really elementary because it's going to explode. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's much more than we first thought it was. And in speaking about the love of God and the human heart, something's happened to us who have believed. We have come literally from a natural to a supernatural state. That sounds kind of kooky, but it's true. God has put the Holy Spirit in our lives, stamped that image of God's Son upon our lives. Now, it's so important. This message is going to be shorter than normal, too. You're going to go, oh, boy, good for potluck. I just want to focus on this one thing. It's so important that, and I love how G. Campbell Morgan put it. He said, the natural human state, the way God created us, from the beginning of time, was to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be stamped with the person of God's Son. This is the whole reason for life. I mean, I loved how he put it like that, is that this is normal life, is the way he put it. Everything else is abnormal. Normal life is the life of the Son of God in man's heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was just thinking when I was contemplating that, and of what he said, I said, well, is this true? Can we see this picture in the New Testament? And sure enough, of course we can. Let's look at Acts chapter 11. And thinking about this idea of faith and how important it is. In faith, in chapter 11, verse 24, speaking about Barnabas. It says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. There's a developer. The developer of the latent image, so to speak. I want us to think of it as. Let's look back at Acts chapter 6. Let's look at Stephen briefly and what the scripture says about him in the new covenant. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. There's the developer. The Holy Spirit's there, but he's full of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith. And now what is he full of too? Power. So above all, as the scripture says, we need to put on the shield of faith. Above all. Hebrews 11:6. Let's turn there briefly. I want to look at two other sections of scriptures as we're going to be closing soon. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I think we can reword that verse, which is always dangerous, but I think it's saying the same thing. In light of what we said today of us being God's beloved children the moment we believe, of how what a value God puts on faith, what a value God puts on us, everyone who believes, every believer, is this is how I think we can reword this verse a little bit. But with faith, it is impossible not to please God. You think of that? Our faith in God. Now look, I believe this again, what it's all coming down to in our lives, with all the shaking, with all the things as we get older and go through the faith, it's coming down to this one question. Is our faith in Him and Him alone? No matter what the issues are of life, and there's plenty of them. Is our faith in Him? And we need to take comfort in this, everyone. I think we do, but we should take comfort in this. Our faith is well-pleasing to God. We need to, when we wake up in the morning and we're placing our faith in God and in Him alone, we need to believe that. It's the declaration of the Word of God. It is the shield of faith. We've got to believe that we're greatly loved by God based upon our faith in the Son, and we're greatly loved by God because we continue to put trust in the Son of God. This is what we're saying. It's impossible not to please Him as we put trust in God's Son. And we can take this to every issue of life. Every single issue of life, I believe we can take this to. Do we trust in ourselves, in our own strength to deliver us? Are we willing to place our trust in the Son of God with all our issues of life, problems, successes, whatever it is? See, this is a faith that continues to believe in God's Son, beloved Son, an active developing faith that believes in the Son against all odds. Look, let me put it another way. I don't think that if our faith was of little value, it wouldn't come under much attack. Think about it that way. Very little attack if it's not of a high value. It's of a high value to God. It's a high value in heaven? I don't quite understand that, but I see that to be the declaration of the Scripture. That, well, you know that. We can take a verse we've heard often that there's a heavenly host that rejoices over every person who comes to have faith in the Lord Jesus. And I want to turn in closing to 1 Peter 3:9 again. Excuse me, not 3:9. 1:3-9, and we'll read this again. Section about faith. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, for salvation, ready to be revealed at this last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, or by many trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Now here it is again. Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, we don't have time to go into all of these sections, but faith here is actually alluded to seven times, and it said five. Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 1, who's begotten us through faith, we can say, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the from the dead. And this faith is, isn't this wonderful? Now, this is where we have to believe this. This is a faith that is given us an inheritance that's uncorruptible and undefiled. I like that. Don't you like that? It's just too good to be true, but it is. It's awesome. It's just awesome. It's reserved for us in heaven. And we're kept. You see, here's it. Here's faith is the act of agreeing again. The developer, the initial faith and the continuing faith, is that we're kept by the power of God. How? Through faith. And these trials are here. And what is being tested, as we said in the beginning, our faith. Our faith is being tested through this time. Do we love, you know, as we see things going on, are we loving and standing for one another and praying for one another? In whom you have not seen. Well, that is faith. If we love him who we do not see with our natural eyes, although we do, kind of, to be honest, don't you just kind of come in here sometimes and you just can sense that Jesus is here? I mean, powerful, you just sense there's just something about it. I mean, this is the gathering of the saints together where two or three are together. It's just like, it's transformational. But, so we see him in extent. And you know what? We see him in a lot of ways, I'll say. We see them sometimes when we're down and out. Somebody can just come up and shake your hand who's full of the Holy Spirit. You know what it does? Straightens your back and makes your things okay all of a sudden that weren't okay. And I could do many such stories like this. God, we do see in a certain way that we were not like the Apostle John and them. We have other advantages that they did not have. Now that sounds crazy, but I believe that it too is true in the Bible. We have advantages over some of these. And I could go into that, but I don't have time about it now, but we do. And why? Well, to go into one, as we ride on their coattails, so to speak. They were trailblazers, but we have come into a little bit of a fuller realization of these things through the years, and many saints that have gone before us, a clear revelation of who the Lord is and what he's doing. But receiving at the end of your faith, the salvation, that's going to be it. When we see him, we're going to be like him. This is what it's all about. It's all about our faith in Christ and in him alone. Nothing else. I mean, I think maybe you guys could, many of you could preach this message better than me. But it's the message is trusting in the Lord against all odds, continuing to believe in the Son of God. So let's go ahead and I think it was 590. Thanks, Ernie. The last verse, yeah.